How'd you like your pizza 2 inches thick?
I've never had pizza 2 inches thick before. Vern's Pizza used to make something called the Mamma Mia. Mm. Or rather, okay, they had a loaded, right? They had what was called Vern's Special. And that was whatever size you got.
These are all pizzas.
It's yeah. The Mamma Mia. You see, they had this Mamma Mia,
which was
the loaded.
Three different pizzas, and then you could Vern's stack special. Them.
No, okay.
And then it became a two-inch pizza.
They had a loaded. They called it Vern's Special. Thing is the Mamma Mia was a Vern's Special with twice as many toppings on it. But they didn't make the dough any deeper or thicker. They just basically piled on more toppings, which meant they had to cook the pizza slower, which means you had to wait over an hour for it to show up.
So if you went in and asked for Vern's Special, does that mean they surprise you with which pizza they gave you?
No, you got the Vern's Special.
But you just said that they were both Vern's Specials.
It's like
they were,
how,
yes.
It's like
but
how Chef's Salad is Cobb.
But you don't... Yeah. Wait, what?
A lot of places.
Well, no, it's the Vern's Loaded was this thick. The Mamma Mia was
well,
a Vern's Loaded
a
that was this thick.
They have a Cobb
yes.
salad.
That's the only difference.
But they're called Vern's Specials.
Yes.
It's called so if you go in and you ask for a Vern's Special, do they surprise you which one they give you?
No, you get this so one because that's a Vern's Special. A Mamma Mia has the same toppings on it, just twice as many.
But you said it was also called a Vern's Special.
Don't say
no, it wasn't also called a Vern's Special. It just has everything that a Vern's Special has on it. It's just twice as many toppings.
You should have just said so in the first place.
I thought I was completely clear.
I think you did, actually, to be honest. And then we all...
Vern's Pizza had a loaded pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza called the Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
And they had the loaded pizza. And then they had the Vern's Special.
Okay, I had to backtrack a bit, but eventually when I got going, I made sense.
No.
Eventually you got it into the order... They had a loaded pizza called the Vern's Special.
Yes.
And if you order the Mamma Mia, that is like a double Vern's Special.
Yes.
Can you call it the double Vern special and they'd order it for you?
No, they'd think you wanted two.
No, because then they need to bring you a Mamma Mia. And that's not what you want. You
yeah,
want double,
double Vern
special.
Special.
Exactly, which would be two double Vern specials on top of each other. Or maybe arrange
like a
calzone.
Like a Panzerotti.
Like a Maserati?
Panzerotti.
Panzerotti.
Pizza Hut.
Court-martial, the Enterprise goes through a severe ion storm, they end up at a starbase. In the process, there was a ion pod, this weird goddamn thing that we never hear about ever again, but it's apparently on the side of the ship or something. And Kirk sent Lieutenant Commander Finney to go man the pod.
Mm-hmm. To investigate it.
Yeah, to basically say, we need you to take readings of this and whatever, investigate all this kind of stuff. So you have to go into this pod that's on the side of the ship. Now...
It's full of ions.
I don't know what it's for. Like, that's the weirdest damn thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand.
It's not explained very well.
So, what happens is that Kirk had to jettison the pod.
Okay, no.
He just
no.
Hated
Finney. There was an,
well, that's what happened.
There was an ion storm going on. He went to Red Alert, and then they had to get out of there, so he jettisoned the pod, and then they go down to the planet for repairs.
Guys, Finney's in the pod. Should I jettison it? I have to jettison the pod.
Now, that's what the computer thinks. Like, this is the stupid thing, is that to try to figure out what the hell's going on, because Kirk, they show up, like, I don't even understand why the whole thing happened in the first place. It's like, why do you have a piece of your ship that's meant to apparently interact with an ion storm? What the hell does it do that when it's like, oh dear, now we have to jettison this pod?
Okay, why did Spock have to mind meld with everything?
We only seen him do that once.
Yeah,
so far.
First season, he's only ever done it once. It's interesting.
And that was
wait till he learns the ability, and then he'll use
no,
it
no,
all
he
the
just
time.
Knows how to do it.
Yeah,
I think you're mixing this up with a different show.
In any case,
this isn't Prince of Tennis.
So here's the damnedest thing: they show up at the starbase. Kirk
goes
down
Prince
the planet.
Of Space.
He writes out a deposition, right? He's like sworn deposition to the Commodore there, saying that I have. This is what happened. I went to Yellow Alert. I gave him some time to get out of there. I went to Red Alert. And then I had to jettison the pod ultimately so we could get out of there.
And what did Commodore Vic 20 say?
He was like, okay, that's chill. I'm fine. Let's wait and see what happens with the log, right? So then Spock's late showing up with the log. He finally comes down off the ship. He's like, here's the log. The Commodore plugs it into his Vic 20. And he says, Kirk, I thought you said that you went to Red Alert. He's like, I did go to Red Alert, and then I just sent the pod. He's like, well, that is willful perjury, and you're going to have an investigation towards a general court-martial because the computer says you went to Yellow Alert, and then you jettisoned the pod. So, legal, whatever, happening, interesting stuff, cool, whatever. We get to a point, the prosecutor shows, big screen, here's a visual log of what happened on the Enterprise. Like, before this, there were episodes where it's like, how did you get all that information? Where did that shit come from? Like, for the menagerie, they had this happen. It was like, where did all the information
come
from?
That's not what I have issue with. I have issue with the visual work.
So they have a visual of the arm.
So wait, at which point, at what point in this episode do they turn Spock off?
He's always on.
Oh, but he has the switch.
What? I don't remember that in Star Trek.
She hasn't seen Next Generation
yet,
okay. So she won't understand.
You're in for a surprise.
Yes, exactly. So what happens is
spoilers.
They show the thing on the screen. You get a close up of Kirk's hand on his command chair. There are 5 buttons. The first one says
alert. No, it says.
I think it just said alert.
No, it said yellow
alert. Okay, so it says yellow alert and there's a little yellow light. And then there's another button just below it and it says red alert. And it has a red light.
Mm-hmm.
And then below that there's a third button and there's 2 more below that. But the third button's important because the red alert, or after red alert, there's a third button that says jettison pod and it has a green light next to it. And then the last 2 have nothing.
But they're buttons. They're functioning buttons.
And I've said to her that it's kind of like all the buttons on Star Trek are all dynamic. They're all like they are on the Enterprise D, in that they remap themselves because you know everybody does the same fucking thing,
but
they always do different things whenever they touch it.
But why the fuck do you have a jettison button that has no safety feature that any jackass can come along
just walking by and
jettison?
I like to think that they kept that in the future. For just, you know, I don't know, backwards compatibility or something. So all future command chairs have had that button.
Are you sure you want a jettison pod?
It's like jettison random pod. It's basically, because there's lots of pods on ship, right?
I hope so.
There's no, thank God there's no self-destruct switch that you can just hit. And it's like, okay, boom, you know.
No, you have to use that, like, interlocking circle thing.
Oh, yeah,
to get the puzzle quickly.
That would be, like, you have to solve a Professor Layton puzzle, essentially.
I just can't believe that they don't use Fitt's Law in terms of the pod jettisoning.
So it would be what, the bottom button?
Yeah, it should be the bottom button.
So it's easy to get to.
Yeah, to make it easier. Yeah, so you know when you know you go to the
bottom. So not the reverse Fitt's Law.
It should be. No.
It's like, I want to go to red alert as opposed to jettisoning the escape.
Because they're right next to each other, right? And you think that maybe he screwed up and maybe he hit the wrong button, that that's what happened, but no. What the computer playback shows is that he didn't say yellow alert. He just hit a button to go to yellow alert.
Didn't say red alert either.
He never said red alert either, but the thing is we never get to that point. But he never said yellow alert. In every other episode, he always says yellow alert. And then he always says red alert. And they always put alert status red or alert status yellow. He always says something that says, here's what I want, now ship, do it for me.
No. He says, we're going to red alert, and they're like, we're going to red alert now, Captain, and they push buttons for him.
Yeah, but the ship's already gone. Like, if you watch anything, he will say, go to red alert, and then, boom, the ship is at red alert. Like, it's like, you don't even hear buttons or anything, it's just boomer red alert, and everyone starts working.
He doesn't even have to be in his chair.
Yeah, he can just say whenever he wants.
That's...
In this case, he hits a button to make it happen, and I'm like, that's retarded.
See, that's the reason why. They instituted the button system, so it would be something the captain could do without having to use his voice. I mean, what if they had a mute captain?
Exactly.
Starfleet's very inclusive. That explains exactly why Riker is the way he is in Next Gen. What is the Canada Liquor Guide pyramid?
It's built out of beer cans.
6 ounces of malt liquor.
High in carbohydrates.
2 ounces of red wine,
yeah.
An ounce of fine scotch at the top.
You should build one.
I like how malt liquor's at the bottom.
Well, it forms the base of the pyramid.
I guess. I would have thought that you'd start with, like, a nice,
beer.
Like, a twofer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start with that, and then on top, because that's
a
nice stable base, and then you would build up with bottles of, like, Alberta rye.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle? Well, I think you want to...
Do we make anything out of maple syrup?
Yes, actually, we do.
We make a maple
so there we
alcohol.
Go.
Yes, there is a maple syrup liqueur.
Wow, it must be terrible.
It is. It tastes like maple syrup.
Carrie was telling me that they're trying to sell salmon-flavored vodka where she works at the Liquor Depot. And it's like $45 for this bottle.
Oh, hanger one, what hath you wrought?
No,
that doesn't sound like Hangar 1.
No,
the problem is then you'd have to find some way for Hangar 1 to atomize the salmon. To infuse the salmon directly into the pot.
You need the essential oil of the salmon. Which...
No, I've solved this. It comes from China.
Oh, so it's 80% human hair.
No, it is fish. It's
Hannah
fermented
fish.
Fish.
It is
fish. See, they're not making their soy sauce out of fermented anything. So they use the fish for alcohol, apparently.
But that's what they do in Sweden.
Lutefisch.
No, the new thing China's doing right now is making rice out of plastic.
That I haven't heard of.
That's adventurous. Are they going to market it as a diet aid?
No.
I just picture
rice.
I just make picture people sitting down and shitting out pellets. Like just like a machine gun. Hit in the back of the toilet bowl.
Oh, Beach, you think they have toilets in China?
Fine, it's like... hitting like a shotgun blast, hitting the hole in the ground. Also, those fucking Mexicans. While we're at it.
Wouldn't it be horrible to wake up and realize you're Manny? These people. Manny's people.
Oh, Christ.
Manny's not Mexican.
Geez, she could have fooled me. No, I love Manny. It's fun to make... It's
racism!
It's fun to be racist at no one in particular.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole... That's my take on racism. It's just nice to be able to badmouth people who don't exist.
It's just funny in a way that, yeah, in a way, since it's all stereotypes and we know that real people aren't based on stereotypes, you're just making fun of something that's just a caricature.
I don't... Yeah.
Those Rivendell elves are all...
Don't get me started on Rivendell.
Oh, and what are the other elves called? The
Blood Elves.
The Blood Elves are all... I can't do the dance, actually.
Can't do the dance of the Blood Elves.
I can't do the dance of the Blood Elves.
Not without taking off a lot more clothing.
So that means there must be dozens of cameras in the ship that are filming their every move.
That space could have been used for holometers.
Yeah, it's true.
They didn't have holometers in the 22nd century.
Because the holodecks were one of those things that the Binars were working on.
But they were only working on improving.
That's right.
The holodecks were fully functional by the first episode.
Absolutely.
Of the Generation.
And it was just funny because when I was saying to Heather that when you watch Encounter at Farpoint, the holodecks are all working great.
Yeah.
And then
one dies.
Yeah, six episodes later, the Binars show up. And
you
it's like
fuck everything.
Yeah, it's like we've made them better, and it's like how exactly did you make
okay,
these better?
So, set an argument for us. We are having an issue about
holodeck science. Buildings and penises you can live in.
Yes. She thinks that you cannot have a hollow penis enter your vagina.
I have a hollow penis.
No, I'm sorry. The other type of holographic penis.
Okay.
It's just because you have to have like line of sight with the emitter, don't you? Do you not?
I don't believe that you do.
Because otherwise, why can't you, like, say, emit something out the door of the holodeck?
But he's shot people with bullets before. Hollow bullets. We did that in First Contact, right? He shot people with hollow bullets, and they get hit by them. Well, the thing is that if it was supposed to be... If he's hitting somebody real with something that is essentially holographic, then it wouldn't be able to penetrate the body. In fact, they wouldn't be able to, like... touch things and interact with stuff that's there. The thing is, they've always said the holodecks work on on transporter technology as well, to actually create realistic objects. So if you were making love to a person who you can touch and interact with, they're not made of hard light. They're even just somebody who's there. If you're going to punch them in the face or do whatever, they have to be there for you to interact with. So what they're doing is creating a simulacrum and making it making it out of matter.
I have a question. Didn't when he used the guns in First Contact, didn't he say safety off or whatever to make the guns?
Well, he turned the safeties off when he went.
So, if you're gonna feel that, don't you have to turn the safety off first?
No, you're able to feel everything on the holodeck, regardless of safeties.
It's basically the key is that with the safeties on, no one can stab you fatally with their penis.
Yeah.
With the safeties off, you can be fatally stabbed with a penis.
Then they can rape you to death.
Yes.
And the safety's on the computer cannot rape you to death.
Thanks to the binars, they will.
Yes!
The minute you turn the safety off, the computer's
that transformed from, you know, penises to the example of penetrating someone with a bullet or knife.
Yeah.
And it's like everything on the holodeck is, you know, basically a penis.
Yeah, a bullet is just basically a fast-moving penis.
Yeah. They're really fast, really tiny.
A knife is a sharp penis. Mm-hmm. And then I said tall buildings are penises you live in.
Oh, well, that's... You know, now we're getting size-centric here all of a sudden. They don't have to be tall buildings. They can just... Anyway, I'm not feeling awkward.
What do you call square building, then? Have you seen a square penis?
This guy's got, like, a beer can penis.
That sounds uncomfortable for him and whoever he's
Ian
with.
Gives his beer can a knowing, puzzled look. Did we ever solve the problem of the three buttons on the handrest?
No.
It doesn't... Because it doesn't really make... You're right.
How is it a problem?
Well, it's retarded.
I just want to know what the other two unnamed buttons are.
That's the other thing.
They're there, but they have
unnamed.
No nameplates.
I'll bet those can be programmed later on for macros, such as... Red alert plus eject pod.
Yes.
And yellow alert plus eject pod.
Yes. I still think that the three buttons on the handrest or on the armrest are all five of them actually are all dynamic, that they're supposed to be able to change according to what situation you need.
So today I think I might jettison a pod.
No, you...
I may reprogram this.
I don't think you get
that.
To decide.
Why did the computer give him that option?
That's the thing. That's what I understand. Is why does he have a button to jettison pod? Why wouldn't he say, Mr. Spock, jettison ion pod? That's what he's done in every other episode.
Why isn't he doing anything himself at all?
Exactly.
Whose job is it to change out all the nameplates then? Because those are...
I know
how frequently.
Yeah, but it's that special effects, right? Is that somebody had to write in the nameplates.
On the ship, whose job is it to change up the nameplates?
I have to assume his yeoman.
And there's no such thing as special effects for that. I mean, if it shows a label,
yeah,
it's a label. If it's a dynamic thing, they didn't have...
Well, like the things in the engine room that are labeled with plaques and things.
Yeah, they didn't.
Those are permanent fixtures.
That's true, yeah.
They didn't have screens that were that small. They couldn't conceive of them.
That's true. Or rather, I'm sure they thought of it, but they thought, how would we represent that? So just put a label.
If there was
on
something
it.
Like that, there would have been a tiny TV monitor, like what Spock has for his eyes.
Oh, or like, we've seen these in the menagerie. They actually show this, because when they show the original stuff from the cage. And in the transporter room, the guys have little tiny bendable anglepoise type, not anglepoise, but, you know, the... Snake gooseneck.
Mm-hmm.
They have the weird chrome goosenecks, and on the end of them, they have a little TV thing like you see in bus stations.
Yeah, like Brazil.
And it's really tiny, and it comes out of the thing, and it's kind of Brazil-esque. And
they also have another screen on a ratchet arm to magnify?
No, sadly they don't. But it was really, I thought it was kind of interesting, because both guys, they each get one if they need one. Of course, they don't show anything, they're just like blank white on the inside. And I'm like, so ultimately they're there, they could be useful, but who would ever use them?
I mean, I could see the buttons being dynamic, but I could see them specifically being mission-specific.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know the captain's coming up, we're on this kind of a mission, let's make sure that these ones are programmed for jettisoning pod, red, yellow, and red alert.
Yeah.
I love how they got away with representing how the transporter works with a sliding thing up until this recent movie.
Oh, like, did they change that?
There's still kind of sliders, but it's kind of like a targeting system.
Yeah, it's
that
like
explains everything, like kind of tries to justify it scientifically instead of just, you know, Brian Smiley sitting there with four slidey things.
Chief Brian Smiley.
Chief.
Give him his respect.
Sometimes they're in jumpsuits.
Because they're crewmen. We found that out.
Or Ghostbusters.
I found that out. The guys you see walking around on ship that are in the crewmen, I went into the research.
I'm sorry, no, I just came up with a better idea.
What's that?
There's an entire staff of Ghostbusters on every ship in Starfleet. Have you ever heard of APTN before I mentioned it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you win.
No, APTN used to run movies and stuff late night that were like normal... I say normal, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Used to run Hollywood movies late at night. And they used to run because APTN is practically entirely CanCon, so they had the ability to, like, you know, it's like, so it's 10 o'clock at night, so now we're doing a Hollywood movie and we're still within our rights to do CanCon.
Right.
But now we can bring people in to watch stuff.
But did you ever...
Did I ever tune it in? Absolutely not. I mean, even if there was a... like, because it was like channel 58 or 91 or whatever. So when you're waiting for everything to go down, you're like, I only have to channel 36 anyway. So
and then
like,
you can walk away and come back.
Yeah.
So when it loops again,
you can see what's on.
The relevant channels.
Yeah, that's all I really cared about is what's going on there. And I'm like, if I knew ABTN was showing Top Gun, you know, maybe like, well, maybe I'll watch 10 minutes of Top Gun and watch like Val Kilmer playing beach ball.
Actually, I gotta mention that's one of the things I always worried about as a kid.
Really?
Well, no, not Top Gun
and Val Kilmer.
Yeah, and Val Kilmer. Yeah, God. No, it was actually that. Yeah, I was a racist motherfucker.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know. I might have been a mild form of racism, because I didn't like watching those channels.
Because they implied you were poor?
Yeah. The advertising implied that. Or at least implied, or I got the idea that being poor made me a bad person.
That's not racist, that's classist, which is fine, because I recently said this to Manny, actually, whenever I go to buy canned meat at a store, mm-hmm. like tuna or something, I always buy... I couldn't remember what the brand was, but I could describe the label down to a T, right? And Heather tells me...
Got a fish on it?
Well, no, it's... Heather tells me it's cloverleaf.
Yeah.
And I would have had no idea, but I was... Because I was like, it's like club fish or something.
Cloverleaf?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Well, technically, I mean, you could feed your cat that. He wouldn't live very long. But,
straight tuna.
Yeah. But you buy your chunk tuna or your smoked salmon or whatever in that, and that's the cans that it comes in, and that's what you buy because that's what it is. And when you see the no name tuna for 50 cents less,
I was thinking
that
the yellow cans,
yeah.
The no name
exactly.
tuna, and you do not want.
And looking at anything that's no name, like looking at anything that's generic, mm-hmm. Makes me think that because if anything that was generic, even if it was like generic pretzels, it's still like I don't want this because it implies that I'm poor and it implies that I have to eat. The garbage that isn't any good. And then as I got older, I realized that I can buy a huge goddamn fuck-off bag of pretzels for, like, $3, or I can buy, like, the rolled gold pretzels for $6 and don't even get nearly enough. And I'm like, I will buy the generic brand. They taste just as good. Then I start buying beans that are no-name. Then I start buying salad dressing that's no-name. I start buying everything that's no-name and realizing, oh, my God, that's right.
You're poor.
If you see somebody in a standard Star Trek uniform, they're an officer. If you see them in a jumpsuit, they're an enlisted crewman.
Yes.
And it's weird because 90% of everybody you ever see in Star Trek will be wearing one of those. Like, anybody who has a line generally will always be somebody in a Star Trek uniform.
If they're a civilian, they'll be wearing a giant funny hat.
Really unusual clothes.
Something with piping in it.
Yeah.
Or a stupid sweater.
Or some sort of like, or if you're a lady, you'll be wearing either a really loose flowing muumuu that somehow clings to your curves.
Stripey, or it's tied on, it's kind of toga like.
Yeah.
And
it looks like it's about to fall off.
Sometimes. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Or, very bright colors.
Yeah,
or your skin has paint on it to represent your alienness.
Exactly. And in that case, you might not be wearing a lot of clothing anyway.
Or green leaves.
Yeah, or green leaves.
What's the point of painting your skin a different color if you have to,
that
you know,
slave girl
cover it up?
Thing.
Yes.
More of these leafy whatevers.
The, Christ. But the crewman thing, when I found out there were crewmen and there was, like, enlisted people, and I just kind of went... But I thought, like, the lowest thing on board a ship was always the ensign, and he was, like, the low-end ensign.
Wesley.
And then you find out that, no, that's actually...
The lowest officer.
Yeah, the lowest officer.
And he outranked O'Brien.
Yeah. It's the damn... Well, he actually... Yeah, because O'Brien is,
he's chief.
Yeah, but he's, like, he's like a senior petty officer.
Chief petty officer.
Chief petty officer?
Yep, chief petty officer.
When he goes to, that was something else in reading Memory Alpha. I found out that the guys on DS9, they made a whole system of badges because nobody knows whose crewman status.
Or the enlisted.
Exactly. Yes. And yet, his and one other guy's only ever got to air. But they had drawn the designs for everybody's, and they only made, like, one for him, and then they reused it, I think, for somebody else. And they, like, well, we never had
to remember. He had the equivalent of a junior lieutenant.
Yeah.
Yes, in Next Generation.
Exactly, which I couldn't quite get. Cause
or, I'm sorry, to go with commercials, Lieutenant J.G.
Yeah. Is that what it was? Did he have a gold and a black?
I remember him having two, at least.
Okay. It's weird, because, you know, you give him a standard outfit, and you give him the two pips like that, and then it's like, oh yeah, but then when you go to, you know, you're an officer, that makes you an officer. So then why is it when you go off to DS9 that all of a sudden you're wearing the same outfit as everybody else, but now you have your enlisted class thing?
Yeah. But he was always a chief. That was the key.
Yeah.
This is something that I learned from Battlestar Galactica. The chief in Battlestar Galactica is not the chief of the deck. It's because he is a chief petty officer.
Ah.
It's just a shortening of the
full title.
The rank.
I see.
And actually, and the reason they're called the chief petty officer is because they actually represent the crew under them to the, I believe it's, well, to the flight officer. I can't remember which officer.
This is in BSG?
Yes, okay. which is modeled on actual military service. So I'd assume it would be the same thing.
Well,
so the reason he's called the transporter chief in that sense,
right,
is probably not only because he's the chief petty officer for the transporter crew, but he's also probably in command of the enlisted people who take care of the transporters.
I'm pretty sure that he seems to be the lead transporter technician.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who does all the beaming up and beaming down. Which is funny because in the original Star Trek, pretty much frickin' anybody could do it. There's
yeah.
even one where it was a crewman who was doing everything, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing Kirk do it.
Yeah, Spock's done in there and he's done it. Scotty used to do it all
the
time.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, I can see, okay, Scotty?
Yes, chief engineer.
Chief engineer, he should know how to do that.
Yeah.
Spock? Fucking Vulcan.
Yeah.
He should know how to do that. Kirk? I wouldn't trust him with anything, let alone jettisoning a pod.
Yeah. It doesn't really make sense why he would have to be in a transporter room. I wish I could think of it.
Not even in the new movie has he proved his competency in doing anything except for hitting people.
He's an inspiring leader. You know what's great?
Hitting people.
You know what's great, actually, about something I noticed about the first few episodes we watched of the original series and then also the new movie?
Right.
Is that both do make very solid cases for Spock and Uhura having a thing. Like, in the new movie, they actually are having a romantic relationship.
Uh-huh.
In the first couple, three episodes, Uhura is shamelessly flirting with Spock. Like,
yeah.
Tons!
I remember that.
We never really see it anymore. Like, as far as we watch the series so far, she doesn't really do it because she really hasn't had an opportunity to do it. But early on, it's like, you know, oh, Mr. Spock, yeah, I'm going to kind of flirt with you a little bit. And she does.
Yeah, she sings when he plays the
heart Vulcan lute,
thing.
Yeah. Vulcan heart, yeah.
And
Two
talks about his pointed ears and whatnot.
Fan dance.
I don't want to
That
watch
wasn't for Spock's benefit.
I don't want to watch fans doing that dance.
Nobody's benefit.
Oh. Okay, never mind.
Okay, she still had it going on at that point a little
no,
bit.
No, she did.
She did.
She's
like 50 years old, but
Michelle
she's...
Michelle Nichols has it going on in the same way that Dame Shirley Bassey has it going on. I will listen to her all night, but do not touch me or make me look at you.
Only your voice.
Audio only.
Oh.
She was 50 in that?
Yes.
Star Trek V.
So not in the first episode.
To anyone
oh, Chris, no, she's probably in her 20s.
To anyone who might be listening to this, I'm a black man.
Oh, man. But I love the fact that it's like, oh, we hinted at that, and then the new movie, it's like, oh, by the way, they're totally doing it.
That is...
Or Pon Farr, or whatever the fuck. I mean, they're having a relationship, clearly.
Different universe, it's okay.
Yep.
Spock's here.
As long as they don't try to explain the Klingons.
And did he do a mind meld in the...
In the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was the... okay, real universe Spock did a mind meld with Kirk. To show off what was going on.
To show off. No. Just to show off. And next I'm going to teach you about Faltor Pan.
Dude, let me show you what I can do.
That's Bones' voice.
Pretty fucking amazing, hey. They all sound like this now because they lost their teeth. If it's angrier, it's Bones.
That's true.
If it's gentler, it's old Spock. And if I shake my head side to side, any asshole could go to China. Only Nixon could come back.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Edward R. Murrow is not the man who said the rest of the story. I just like the name Edward R. Murrow.
Don Candy. Dead at 83.
That's pretty much the whole story. Are you trying to remember his name?
Who?
Are you trying to remember his name?
Whose name?
The guy who did the rest of the story.
Oh.
I didn't know if you were trying to remember, because I can never tell you anymore. You'd be like, Tom Harvey. And you'd be like, no, Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey.
Andy Richter.
You know, I think
Andy Rooney.
I might be getting lead poisoning.
What?
But really slowly. I'm not, no, me.
Have you been licking those reusable bags from Safeway?
No. I thought.
Have you licked a collectible Shrek cup?
No.
Children's toys from China.
Wait, reusable bags from Safeway have lead in them?
Paint. The silkscreen paint. No, all of the reusable bags.
Holy shit! I had no idea.
Yeah.
I won't feed them to my children.
Good job.
Your cat.
My cat.
Well, cats like to lick plastic bags.
Reusable bags. She can eat all the plastic bags she wants.
Oh yeah, regular plastic's fine with cats.
Oh, sorry, well.
Songs can be done on those chords.
It's like the new it's like the new Pachelbel's Canon, is it? What's the name of that program again? Grand something or other.
Grand Central?
No, it's the one that you can see a visual. It's like Disk Inventory X.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can see a visual map of where all the files are in your computer based on their size. So you can see, oh, I have a bunch of big files in this directory. What directory is that? Oh, that's my pornography
Daisy
disk.
That's what I use.
Daisy disk?
Yep.
Okay. The one I have is a grand something or other. Okay. Can I open stuff right out of the Dropbox? You wouldn't mind?
Take it out? Yeah.
Can I open stuff out of your Dropbox?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay, because I dropped something in the box. Text to path, rasterize effects to. Let's just try 100. You know what? Fuck it. Let's just try it at 90 to see if it works. Export area is page only. watch it crash.
Some shit.